Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation with our host, Bob Ginsberg. I'm Fran Ginsberg, and our show tonight is sponsored by the Comlock Center and can be found on the web at www.comlock.com. That's K-A-M-L-A-K. Tonight's guest is Janet Mayer, and if you have a question, comment, or would like to talk to our guest, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008, or you can instant message the studio at Signs of Life Radio on AIM. And good evening to you, Bob.
Hello, Fran. I just wanted to add that tonight's guest, Janet Mayer, is a gifted medium. Tonight is an interview format. She wrote a very interesting book called Spirits, They Are Present, and among other things, it outlines her saga of suddenly speaking these languages, which is fascinating. So, certainly want to take callers, but just wanted to make sure everybody knew that this was not a mediums and messages session where you're going to get readings. Did you see that article that came out during the week about the gentleman who passed away and an email started coming?
When I read the article, The article was written so as to really make you believe or understand that this was an unusual phenomena. But when you watch the video that goes with it, the video allows an opening for an explanation of somebody having tampered with the guy's email account.
Yeah, I mean, basically what happened is this gentleman, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, Jack Fries, he was only 32, and he died of a heart attack. And then 5 months after his death, it says his childhood best friend received an email from Freeze's account. He goes on to say, it was very quick and short, but to a point that only Jack and I could relate to. The email had the subject heading, I'm watching, and the text of the message read, did you hear me? I'm at your house. Clean your effing attic.
All right. Now, when you start to go there with that, and you say, okay, 5 months later, there have been incidents, and it's happened to me too, where an email that I've sent doesn't show up. It just sits in cyberspace, and then all of a sudden shows up in somebody's box. But when you add to that the fact, I mean, he was in the attic. He talks about them having been in the attic just before he passed.
Right.
So that would make sense if somehow the email was held up in cyberspace. However, the caption on it, the subject line that says, I'm watching you, that's what's the grabber there.
Yeah, and of course, these were his best friend receiving these emails was comforted by it. You know, he says, I'd like to say Jack sent it just because I look at it if he's gone, but and he's still trying to connect with me, trying to tell me move along, feel better, and so forth. So, it's not the first time, as you mentioned, there are many other plausible explanations. Somebody could have hacked into the account. But then again, we've come across things that were similar in nature. People sometimes get phone calls or get messages on their answering machine. It happens very often that people pick up the phone and they swear it's their deceased one's,
Right, and I personally have had situations where I'm holding on to the mouse, and the mouse is doing its own thing. So, that implies that something else can take control of a computer, assuming a computer's on Well, maybe it doesn't have to even be on.
Yeah, I mean, in years past, there were many, many very credible mediums that that did automatic writing. There still are, you know, some people today that do it, and you basically just hold a pen or a pencil up to on a piece of paper, and something takes over, and they write things that on topics that they know nothing about as a conscious entity, and somebody's taking over. So, if you had automatic writing, why not use present day technology and utilize computers?
Right, and according to some of the research, they're really loving our technology. As we get better and better at technology, they get better and better at using it to communicate.
Yeah, you know, and after somebody, a loved one passes, I mean, what are you thinking of? You're thinking of, if you're open to these things, you know, send me a sign, you know, and they seem to happen with more frequency because people are open to it. You know, a lot of these things may have happened before where discarnate entities are trying to communicate, but if it's not in your own reality and you don't believe that it could happen, that you just dismiss it as it has to be a coincidence, or it has to be a crank call, or
right. But I think what's so cool about this particular situation is the guy gave it no mind. You know, he had missed his friend. He knew his friend was gone, and then boom, an email shows up, and it probably rattled his cage when he saw it. But when you talk to him or you watch him on the video or you read about it, he remains open, even though he's not a big believer and he says he's not a big believer, he remains open to the possibility that maybe it was him, maybe it wasn't, but it doesn't matter to him because it gave him comfort.
Right, and I could see with a lot of people, they would describe themselves being freaked out, you know, or it would be a troublesome type of experience because... again, you know, their education or their cultural influences or their religious views would say that this is the devil's work, or this is something that you shouldn't tinker with, you know. So, I mean, it's cool that it's always interesting when people remain open-minded in the face of these things. But, you know, we talk a lot about, you know, electronic voice phenomena and... just a, you know, another means of communication. These things happen. What's interesting, as we've discussed before, when the electronic voice phenomena, that the messages are never heard, you know, live, so to speak, while they're happening. It's only when you go back and you replay it and you investigate that these messages are there. So I always think that there are some teams in these other, you know, dimensions that are working very hard on keeping up with new ways, so to speak, of getting messages to us. I mean,
they could be all of the Einsteins and the guys who left here as geeks that are.
And that's right. And you know, perhaps it's easier to get a message across using, let's say, something like EVP, than it is to make oneself appear as in an apparition. You know, makes sense to me. It probably takes a lot more energy and a lot more telepathic technique, you know, to manifest yourself as a physical entity.
Right, and if you consider the fact that at least our organization accumulates many more emails and phone calls regarding them coming through electronic equipment versus them materializing and showing, although we do get plenty of those too,
yeah.
that supports the observation that, wow, they're really enjoying all of this modern technology.
Yeah, I wonder what would happen if everybody decided as a routine, you know, to keep a recorder going, you know, every night for like a 5 or a 10 minute period. I mean, how many people actually do that, you know, very, very small, insignificant amount of the population.
Well, you know, the circle does. Right?
Yeah, right.
AAEVP people.
Yeah, A-Trans-C that has a big circle, and they do that, and they get an extraordinary amount of communication.
Right, and I think it's worthy mentioning to our listeners that if they're interested in electronic voice phenomena and trying to capture some of it on their own, that is a very good site to go to.
Yeah, and the new site is A-Trans-C.
A-Trans-C. T-R-A-N-S-C letter C. Right.
Right. We're going to go to our break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with our guest, Janet Mayer. So stay with us, and we'll hear more about the unseen world from our guest, Janet Mayer.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Wimbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Wimbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Wimbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.windbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
For those just tuning in, our guest tonight is Janet Mayer. Our sponsor is the Comlock Center and can be found on the web at www.comlock.com. That's K-A-M-L-A-K.com. Bob?
And our guest tonight is Janet Mayer. Janet is a psychic and a spiritual medium. She's taken part in scientific mediumship research with various researchers. She was a research medium at the Human Energy Systems Lab at the University of Arizona. She's a certified medium with Forever Family Foundation and an original member of its Medium Advisory Board. In addition to her professional practice of mediumship, Janet continues to investigate the source of her ability to speak indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages, and she is the author of Spirits, They Are Present. And Janet's website is janetmayer.net. Welcome, Janet.
Hi, Bob. Hi, Fran.
Hello.
You know, one thing that we hear from a lot of people who experience various types of communication that they can't understand is They question whether they're crazy. And then, you know, from reading your book, I see that, you know, you asked yourself the same question, you know, more than once as a child and teen. Is that accurate? I mean, did you question whether you were crazy?
Oh, yeah, I constantly did. I mean, to the point of I actually started writing things down because I just thought I was definitely losing it. So the only way I could get a grip on it was to start writing whatever came to me down or telling someone. You know, I told very few people, but, you know, I did. I constantly would question it and wondering, you know, okay, what's going to happen tomorrow? Because if, you know, this happened and or if something did happen, I would think, didn't I know that was going to happen? I think I knew that was going to happen. And, you know, it was kind of one of those things. Or if I saw somebody when I was little, you know, in the book, it was that type of situation. So there was a lot of, you know, odd things like that happening.
Well, was there anybody in your immediate family? I mean, could you talk to your mom about that, or did you keep it to yourself?
Well, you know, it was one of those things that when I was little, both sides of my family, both of my grandmothers would talk about different things. I swear, you know, my one grandmother used to talk about her voices, and you know, my dad would say, you know, well, you know, who are they? Who are these voices? And she'd say, well, I'm not going to tell you, you know, and she would know things before they happened. So there was a little part of it that made me think, well, there's something going on, but it was kind of like the elephant in the room. Everybody talked around it, but we never really sat and talked about it. And it wasn't until I got older that I started realizing, okay, there's something going on here it's pretty big, you know, and I need to do something about it. Mm. So it was just that kind of situation.
Well, wasn't one of the early experiences that you had where you knew that your grandmother was going to pass?
Yes, I did. It was on Christmas Day, and we had went to see her. And when I was looking at her, I just instantly knew she was going to die. I was looking into her eyes, and it was almost as if she was even telling me that. And my first thought was, oh, my gosh, I can't think that. I'm crazy. Why would I think that? That's horrible. You know, how can a granddaughter think this? And, you know, we left, and that evening we get a call, and sure enough, she'd passed in her sleep. And, you know, that it just shocked me so bad that I was wondering what was going on after that. And after that, it really hit me hard. But then I kind of, you know, varied away from it for a couple years, and it seemed like it started coming back a little more and a little more. And I realized that I started picking up on people dying before they died. And that was really scary, and that was something I wouldn't talk about with a lot of people because I thought they would think I was crazy, or, you know, and who wants to know that anyway? Who wants to know, oh, you know, I think this person might die? You know, you don't say that to somebody, you know? And so it was very difficult. You know, it was a really tough journey.
I would imagine so, and not only were you did you have this sense of when somebody was going to pass, but you also were receiving a tremendous amount of precognitive info, and then you'd see it play out, whether, you know, somebody passes or the scene that you envisioned, you know, plays out. So I would imagine that made you feel powerless in a way, right? I mean, you just, you know, there was really nothing you could do about it.
Right, right. And I got to the point, and this is going to sound, you know, it sounds kind of bad when I say it this way, but I got to the point I almost wanted it to happen so it could be over, because I lived in this heaviness and this fear of I can't stop it, I don't know what to do, what could I, you know, how do I get this feeling, you know, how do I get rid of it? And for example, if something happened the one night when I was dating, you know, Carl, who is now my husband, I wouldn't let him leave. You know, I told him, I said, I just had this horrible feeling around him. I'm like, you cannot leave. And I mean, I made him sit there, and I held his hands, and, you know, I it was probably at least an hour before I let him go home. And then we found out the next day that the man who lockered next to him at his work had died that night at that time. And it was just, you do, you feel so defenseless, and there's nothing you can do. And I kept thinking, why do I have this? What am I supposed to do with it? I don't like it. How do I get rid of it? You know, and that's kind of where it was taking me.
But you did try to do something about it. I mean, you made Carl stay home, so I mean, you did change the course of events. You were active in that regard. I mean, but I see your point. I mean, there's one quote that you wrote in the book. You know, that sometimes you thought that this wasn't a gift; it was pure hell.
Right, yeah, and that's true. And I did feel that way, and I just couldn't understand why I was experiencing that, especially because the few books, you know, years ago that I would read about, you know, you would have a medium that, oh, their grandma came to them, or, you know, a grandpa, and they just loved seeing them, and they were happy, and they'd disappear. And the mediums would automatically, when they were younger, know something was going on, and they'd be happy. And in my case, I didn't have that. I was having all this, you know, trauma and tragedy coming at me, and I didn't know how to stop it. And I kept thinking, well, what do I do? I don't know how to control this. I don't know how to stop it. And it was starting to really get heavy.
Right. Now, you not only see, I mean, it appears to me that you visualize spirit entities more than most mediums. And I don't know if that's true, but that's the way it appears. I mean, do you ever wonder why?
I don't know. Maybe that's just the ability that I have more than, you know, instead of the gut feeling, I just see things. I have a lot of readings which, you know, they're really crazy. I'll just see, for example, I might just see someone's head, and I may not see the rest of their body. And it sounds kind of a little odd, but there may be something that stood out on their face that once I mention that, they know exactly who that person is for whatever reason, whether, you know, it's a birthmark or a scar or a tattoo or something. And, you know, the same with if, you know, I see someone at night, I just get a sense of I might see a form. I may not see a whole body. You know, people are thinking when I see somebody, I see them 3D and full color and everything, and I don't always see it that way.
Right.
I'll see pieces or, you know, like I said, I might see a part of a body or I might see, you know, a shadow of someone and I could tell, like, their hair or there's just a lot of different things with that. But for me, yeah, I mean, I've had some pretty really clear experiences of seeing people, and I've even been able to see the prints on their shirts or what they were wearing. And it is kind of odd, but it's also kind of cool in a way. But it's, for me, I always laugh about it because I always call myself the chicken medium, because when I see somebody, it still kind of hits me a little bit. And I'm pretty sure that I was put here to entertain the other side. I really feel that way, because when I see someone, I freak out, and then I take a breath, and I'm like, okay, it's all right. They're okay. They're letting me know they're good. Everything's good. And then I get really excited, and then I start writing it down, like, okay, this is what they're showing me. So in that sense, it's kind of cool. You know what I mean? So I get it from both sides.
Yeah, so you think that the people in spirit are just sitting around laughing, saying, "We got her again," you know?
Yeah, they're like, "Look, we're gonna scare her. You know, watch when this happens." I mean, you know, keep in mind, I you know, did call the police on spirit one time, so I do have that one.
They apparition. I mean, sometimes you feel them. I mean, tell us about the time when you were putting your son to bed when he was small.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I had worked all day, and I was really tired, and Matt was, you know, he was very young. And I was scratching his back, and every night, and this was back when, you know, they slept on their stomach, and every night I would scratch his back, and every night I would sing the same three songs. And I did this just, it was a routine every night, and I was scratching his back one night. I'm hanging over the crib, and I got them singing, and I just said, "Matt, I just wish somebody would scratch my back." And with that, someone did. And it went up my back and back down my back. And, oh, my gosh, did I ever fly backwards? And I turned around. And, of course, you know, there wasn't anyone there that I could see. And I stepped out of the room, and then I stood back in the room, and I just was shaking so bad. And I thought, okay, he's sleeping, thank God, and I didn't scream. But, yeah, I mean, I felt them. I mean, they've scratched my back. They've grabbed my feet. They've touched me. You know, I mean, it's just, but it's actually, it's kind of cool when I look back on it. But at the time, you know, you do jump. I'm not expecting it. It's there.
Yeah, well, it just shows you that how conditioned we become. I mean, you do have a life here in the physical, and certain things that would appear to be like they don't belong, even with your knowledge and your experience, you still can be taken by it, you know? So it's
right, but it's also cool. I mean, you know, when you think about it, it's that they can actually do that. And I have to be honest, I've never had a bad experience. There's never anyone who's ever come through and, you know, all these movies on, you know, TV or, you know, out there, it's nothing like that. I've never had a bad experience in the sense of if they touch me, I've never been harmed. Everything I've seen, there's always been some explanation. So I've been very lucky in the sense of I can share that with other people and let them know that, you know, if they touch you, yeah, you're going to be surprised because you don't see them. But what a blessing. I mean, somebody was actually listening to me. They wanted to scratch my back. How cool is that? You know?
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
So here you are, you know, you're continuing your search for the source of all these things that are happening to you. And then just when you think that maybe you're getting to the hang of it, the universe throws an ability your way that turns your life upside down. And I'm talking about the languages.
Right. So,
some of our listening audience may already know, but for those who don't, and by the way, I know a lot about you and I know a lot about your languages, but I really enjoyed reading the book, In Spirits They Are Present, because you kind of went on that, you took us on that roller coaster of emotions. And, you know, it's easy just to talk about, you know, the languages in an intellectual sense, but, you know, how it took over your life and how you desperately needed to find out, you know, the source of these things is very compelling. So just give us, if you would, a little brief overview of how this came about.
Okay, well, what happened was is during, you know, my 20s, I started knowing, as I said earlier, about people before they were going to pass. And I could, you know, walk by the TV, and I would just feel like, oh, that, you know, that guy's going to die. And I'd think, oh, my God, where did that come from? And I would start getting freaked out because it would end up being one side of the family or the other. I could figure that part out. I could figure out sometimes if it was a friend. But it was so much of my life, and it was scaring me because I really didn't want that ability. And so I was trying to find a way to stop it. So I thought I would try regression work. And that didn't really take me down that path, and that's when they told me about holotropic breath work. And it sounded really fascinating, so I tried that. You know, you can look up online all about it. And the first time I got there, you know, you do a breathing exercise, and you lay there, and it's supposed to take you in, and, you know, it's supposed to tell you what you need, where you need to go. It's, you know, going into the deep subconscious. So I try it the first time, and it was really, really cool. I knew something was happening, but I didn't know what, so I decided to try it again. And when I tried it the second time, the day I went, I actually sat on the bed and I, you know, I sat there and basically just prayed to the universe and said, you've got to give me something. I can't handle this anymore. I've got to know. You've got to direct me somewhere. So, you know, that was kind of my standing point with that. I got to the breath work. When it was my turn, I laid down, and within 5 minutes, I mean, first of all, I heard somebody in my ear tell me to get up and go to the bathroom, which was really bizarre. And I did that. I came back. I laid back down, and boom, I spontaneously started speaking languages. And I probably spoke for 45 minutes, these languages that just came out of me really forceful. And, I mean, I literally, like, propelled us sitting up, and I was just speaking them and, you know, yelling, singing, laughing, every emotion you can experience. Well, you know, it was after that that I realized it was still with me. And, I mean, do you want me to go into all that or just...
Well, I mean, just the process itself. I mean, is interesting how you you felt this, you know, building up, and then I mean, are you able to speak a little bit of the language now? Or
oh, sure, I'll go ahead. Okay, Narasaremo lia tarakasanehelo lia sono mises se sono mai etaton en sanimon sorietato con mansal azira zaromaya nakale son ira balcomo yesakana done etarasal donoma dorope erasat nomika losoro. Okay, and see how it changed there? It went from one way and all of a sudden it just drifted into something else, and that's exactly what happens. But
right.
When it first came through, it was a little more, you know, rough. And I would also have to rock when it was coming through because it was so strong. And, you know, some people would look at it, and I mean, many people, you know, they would be afraid because they'd think, you know, what is happening to her? And this language, it just, to me, is so beautiful. And it feels so good when it comes through. And I know they're giving a message. I could feel it now that there was something they want to say. You know, they have a message. And so it was with that I realized I had to find someone who knew what I was saying. And that whole journey was just unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know, it reads like a mystery novel. You know, just, you know, following up clues, and a lot of it was hard work. But ultimately, I vindicated is a poor choice of words, but in a sense, you were. You know, I mean,
right.
Well, you know, you finally found somebody that knew the language, and not only, you know, knew it, but could have it translated for you, it probably, describe the feeling when you first got that call.
Well, when I finally found someone after 4.5 years, I was talking to a man named John Perkins, who, you know, through my whole journey goes through this, and he put me in touch with another man. But when I talked to Ipu Piara, he said, well, first of all, John Perkins said, I think I know what you're speaking. You know, I think you're speaking in Amazonian language, and I want to put you in contact with a man named Ipu Piara. Well, I remember getting off the phone, and I don't even know how I remembered any of that conversation. I was shaking. I thought I was going to pass out, my breathing. All of a sudden, it was like somebody knows this is real. Oh, my gosh, this is real. And then when I talked to Ipu Piara, like months down the road, you know, he asked me to speak it for him, and I did. And he's like, do you know what you're saying? And I'm like, no. You know, that's why I'm looking for someone. And it just was an amazing journey. And when I found Ipu, I'm not kidding, I just... You know, it was euphoric. I don't know how else to say it. I was so excited to finally know that I had real languages coming through me. And when Ipu not only validated it, but told me, you know, some of what I was saying, I couldn't believe it. You know, and to me, at first, like I said in the book, I really didn't think, I thought it was going to be something really profound. And when it first came through, I thought, what? This is it? But then I realized it really was profound, you know, coming from a whole other world here.
Well, yeah, I mean, coming from another world that obviously you've never been to, and when you found out that not only are you speaking some the language, but you're speaking poetry and wisdom and an ancient language. I mean, that's like a double shock, yeah, right? How do you make sense of that?
Well, not only that, it was male and female coming through, which that really blew me away. I didn't know there could be a difference, and I even asked Ipu how that could possibly be. And he said by the words that weren't being spoken, he knew that that was a female because there are certain words that are taboo for them to say. And if those words were spoken, then he knew it was a male, you know, spirit energy coming through. So that really threw me, too, because I thought, okay, there's more than one. It's not just one.
Yeah. Well, so, I mean, as you speak the language, obviously you need to get it translated. You don't understand what you're saying, but you have a definite feel for the content, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so you know when something is uplifting or whether something's sad or something's important, you know. So
right.
In a sense... there's still some frustration there because, you know, I mean, you just happen to pick a language where there's only like 10 people in the world outside of the tribe that can speak it, right?
right. You know, I didn't make it too difficult on myself, did I?
But I guess you didn't have control over that.
No, I didn't.
So as you think about it, or I don't know whether your feelings have changed over the years, but now that a substantial amount of time has gone by, do you think this is a case of you channeling a Yanomami spirit, or do you think that it's a case of reincarnation where perhaps in a past life you may have been a member of that indigenous tribe?
Well, here's the thing. It could actually be either or both, because the thing is, the way the energy comes through, I can feel that it's not my energy. It feels different when there's a pressure. You know, if you felt somebody pushing against you, or, you know, if you're taking a really deep breath and you feel that pressure, that's kind of how it comes through. And when I speak it, it's on my tongue, and sometimes it's going so fast I can't even hardly control it, and I know that's not me. So I do feel that there's an energy coming through. However, I also wonder if possibly, you know, there was a past life or two or three where I did speak one of those languages, so there's a connection there, and maybe somewhere along the line either something got, you know, mixed up or it's supposed to happen this way. But I do kind of wonder if it's both. I asked Ipu this many times, and he said that there was one tape that they spoke of possibly, it sounded as if he said they might have known someone I knew who was here, that they met up on the other side. And he said, but he can't verify it exactly, so he could never say for sure if it was just, you know, channeling or if it was reincarnation. So that is still kind of up in the air, and like I said, it could be either or both. And I definitely know there is some channeling going on because, like I said, the energy coming through sometimes can be so strong. And when I could be driving, and it could just pop through really strong, and that tells me, okay, there's something happening here. I have to pay attention. And usually there'll be something going on that day.
Yeah. Well, I know that the Yanomami were warriors, so when I see you, I'm always careful to make sure there are no spears around, because it's reincarnation. Who knows what's going to happen. We're going to go to a short break, when we come back, we're going to continue a lot more. I want to talk more about your mediumship, and maybe you can give some tips to people on how they can help hone their skills. So stay with us. When we come back, we'll be speaking more with Janet Mayer.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is atransc.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
If you are just tuning in, our guest tonight is Janet Mayer. This show is sponsored by the Comlock Center and can be found on the web at www.comlock.com. That's K-A-M-L-A-K.com. If you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call the office at 631-425-7707. Before we get back to our show, we have a few important foundation updates for our listeners. Here at Forever Family Foundation, we're sending out a big thank you to all of our supportive listeners who have made possible this past year of bringing Signs of Life Radio to you. They know that even though we are a 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, it still takes a lot of money to do the work we do. And yet, we know that not everyone has extra income that they can send along to support the continuation of our programming. So this is how easy it is to keep this radio show alive without sending us money. Go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that is taken out. And each time the card is used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Then, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com. But first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website. And again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, then sign up with iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then search iGive.com for your items. For each search, we receive a donation. And when you find what you are looking for, and there are more than 900 online stores like Apple Store, Bloomingdale's, CheapTickets.com, Fandango, and the list goes on, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Our Holiday of the Earth raffle is in full swing, and the winners will be pulled on Earth Day, April 22nd. So if you're not in there, you want to get in there. To date, we have only sold 200 tickets. There are five winners that are going to be pulled. You do the math, 20 to 1. You really want to get online tonight and purchase your tickets and be a part of this raffle. We want to thank Kim Russo, our Forever Family Foundation certified medium, for connecting with your child across the veil, an event that is scheduled for March 30th. It is filled. Visitation rights with Forever Family Foundation certified medium Bobby Allison is set for April 20th, and there are only three seats left to that. We also have scheduled Dessert and Discarnates with certified medium Lynn LeClaire. There are only 12 seats at this exclusive fundraiser on June 22nd. You can have your reading, your dessert, and reading too. It's going to be a very, very private night for just the lucky 12 people who are the first ones to reserve seats at this elegant evening. And our annual November conference is set for Phoenix, Arizona. Will be the first of its kind as an intensive interactive weekend. So save the dates, November 10th and 11th, with our annual fundraiser the night before on November 9th this year in Arizona. And those are all my announcements, Bob.
Okay. I hope that Janet is still staying
sure.
with us. And we are talking with Janet Mayer. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. You know, Janet, we know that you speak these languages from these indigenous tribes. We know that the Yanomami were an earth-connected people. And I can't help but think that's especially significant. As I once wrote an article about you entitled The Human Seismograph. and that is your connection with earthquakes. So just fill us in a little bit about that.
Well, actually, it was after, I think, the very first show I was on with Forever Family and on Signs of Life, and I was doing readings, and I was all totally wired, and when I got off, I was I couldn't get to sleep right away, of course, so I was doing cleaning and here, this and that, and finally I went to bed, and, you know, I was laying there, and I was kind of shaking, and something grabbed my feet or my ankles, and I kind of looked up at the end of the bed and, you know, a little nervous, and realized there was nobody there, of course, because my feet were under the covers. And, you know, once again, I relaxed and thought, okay, this is odd. And it happened again. And, you know, that was kind of the first time. And I remember with my husband, I said to Carl, I felt the bed shake the one night. I'm like, Carl, did you feel that? We sat up, and he's like, oh, it's an earthquake. And I said, that's not an earthquake. I said, there's not an earthquake. There's nothing on the walls moving. The bed is shaking. He's like, yeah, just, you know, go back to sleep, honey. And so I just, okay, well, the next morning I wake up and there was an earthquake. And it happened like months down the road. And it wasn't like a 3.1 earthquake. It's a big one. It's always usually a large earthquake. It doesn't happen if it's a small earthquake. But if there's a big earthquake, usually the night before, my bed will shake. And I'll be laying there in bed, and the bed will just start shaking. Nothing else shakes but the bed. And sometimes my husband feels it, sometimes he's sleeping. But I will literally the next morning get up, and the first thing I do is go to the USGS and check or turn on TV to see if there was an earthquake somewhere. And I've had, you know, just a list of different, you know, earth events that have taken place. And, you know, it's been earthquakes in New Zealand. It's been, you know, the tsunami. It's just been big earthquakes everywhere. Even mine explosions that have happened, something that's earth-related, it seems to affect me in some way. And so I usually, you know, lay there for a while. I try to, you know, say a prayer to whoever this is happening to. And I usually get up the next morning. And once in a while I'll know, like, an area, but sometimes I don't know that at all. I just feel it.
Mm. Well, it certainly makes sense to me. You know, here you are, sort of the unofficial spokesman for these people that are ancestors that are trying to get these messages out, and you're so connected to the earth. I mean, do you ever contemplate how that happens? I mean, do you think that it's another case of could spirit be actually making your bed shake, or do you think that it's just something within your body that resonates with these tremors?
I think it could be me in a way, because sometimes, you know, I just had a situation, I don't know if it was last week or the week before, where I was actually standing and I could feel like the inside of me shake. And, you know, I know that sometimes they have an explanation. I looked it up, you know, online to try to come up with something. But there's other times where I'm laying in bed and I know I'm not moving. I know it's not me. I mean, I'll literally, you know, have Carl grab my leg or something, or you know, I'll just be like, okay, do you feel that? You know, and we know that it's the bed. So it's kind of strange.
I keep thinking of, you know, of Carl and your family as these things are happening. I mean, you could hardly contain yourself with all these things that are happening. I mean, being a medium and having all these various occurrences, is it challenging to maintain a family life?
Well, not really, because I guess, well, there's some days, yes, I have to admit, some days are a little rough, but for the most part, you know, things don't happen constantly all day, every day. It's just, you know, it's kind of like with an earthquake. You don't know when it's going to happen. It could be, you know, one day I might have a lot of odd feelings, or if I'm working on a reading, I'll have that, you know, depending even on somebody's reading. You know, you could come through with something, or, you know, I'll be hot. I'll know there's a fire coming, or, you know, just all kinds of odd things can happen. But I do feel a lot, so, you know, although I'm more visual than anything, I do have different things where with vibration. I don't know why, but that's just how it is.
Yeah. Well, you also happen to have married somebody that was very open to this and never judged you and believed you. I mean, that had to be tremendously supportive.
Right, but it didn't start off that way. He didn't believe me in the beginning. He thought I was crazy. He was just like, yeah, I don't believe any of that, you know. That was really tough. He believes me now, but he didn't then. And unfortunately, he had to see it and experience it for himself.
Yeah.
And once that happened, then he totally supported me. So in that sense, I totally understand when somebody comes along and they don't believe you and they don't believe in any of this. It's okay, because they haven't experienced it. But once you've experienced it, you know, you know, you know.
Right. And I always say that knowing comes from experience. That's just about the only way.
Right.
When you're doing a reading, you often write down information before the actual sitting. And so just tell us a little bit about that process. Do you meditate? I mean, do you invite spirit? What happens?
Yeah, well, what I do is when I'm going to do a reading for somebody, let's say it's Bob, I would put you in a chair and I meditate and I ask whoever needs to come in around you. And according to where they stand tells me what generation they are. You know, if they're behind you, it would be a parent, or above that would be a grandparent. To the side would be in your generation. If they're in front of you, it would be a child. And then I write down anything that comes through. And it doesn't matter what I see. I mean, I've had things where, you know, somebody will pull you out of the chair and sit down. And I'll just be like, okay, that wasn't my plan, but that's how it comes through. So anything I get, I write it down. And I usually do it about 3 days before the reading, and I'll do it 3 days in a row, because I look at it like everybody can have a bad day or an off day. So if I write down if I do three meditations in a row in 3 days, then whatever I get for that person, I have different, you know, a different vibration every day a little bit. And then that, then when I do the reading, I just give them whatever I have. And if anything else comes through, you know, I'll give them that as well. And a lot of times it's even answers to questions I've already had, which I always find really fascinating when that happens because, you know, I don't know them and I don't talk to them beforehand. So when I, you know, give them whatever I get, I look at it as if Spirit already knows and Spirit is giving the information to me. And I'm just the vehicle. That's all I am, you know.
Mm. What, you know, there are many people that, you know, write to us and call us and, you know, they tell us that they have certain experiences. They're not sure if they're real or not. They think they're real, but they really want to they're asking us, which we can't really answer, for ways that they could hone these skills and to develop more intuitively and psychically or become a medium. I mean, are there any specific techniques that you would recommend to people that are looking for such advice?
Yes, I have one that I really, really like because when I first started meditating, you know, I can't sit like a pretzel. I can't be super straight. I just have to be comfortable. And first of all, I pretty much everybody says, you know, just be comfortable. Wear whatever you want. I don't care what you wear. Just wear whatever you want. But I would always have a pad of paper and a pen or a pencil with me. And what I do is when I first close my eyes and I relax and I ask for the, you know, white light to be around me, and I always say have the same saying that I say every time, when I say that, I relax, and whatever comes to my mind, I write down. And if it's a grocery list, I write the grocery list. If I had to go pick up my son from school or from hockey, I would write that down. If I had something I thought of I have to do in a month, I would write that down. And as soon as everything I thought of that came out, I wrote down, then I would stop again, and I would focus and say, okay, I'm going to start walking down a road. And this path or road can be whatever you want it to be. I don't care. It could be an asphalt path. It could be a dirt road. It can be grassy, rocky, anything, and put it anywhere. And just start walking down this road in your mind, okay? And as you walk down the road, ask for you to be shown whatever you need to see. You might see a broken down car. Oh, it looks like my car. So then you write down broken down car, my car. Then you keep walking, and all of a sudden you think of, you know, a relative, write it down. Anything that you get on that path, write down. And it might only be a minute, and then all of a sudden you lost it. That's fine. You're done. Don't worry about it. Then the next time you want to do it, if you want to do it the next day, fine. If you want to do it 3 days later, that's fine. And then sit down when you have time. If you force yourself to do it every day, you're not going to like that if that's not who you are. So you have to pick when you want to do it. And if you do it the next time when you have some time, it could be in the morning or night, noon, any time. You could be sitting at the park and you want to do it. Do it then. And once again, get out a pad of paper and write it down. And I always date it and time it when I do it so that when something comes up, I can look back at my notes and go, yeah, I got that. You know, and it took me a long time to get to that point to say, oh, wow, duh, I'm writing all this down. I should go back and look and see what I got. And you realize that you really did pick up on a lot. And it could be, you know, psychically, but then all of a sudden you might realize something else is coming through. And you think, oh, my gosh, I just thought of, you know, grandma today. And all of a sudden somebody's talking to you about grandma or, you know, something comes up in relation to when grandma passed or maybe it was the day she died. I had an incident where I was thinking for some reason I wanted to go to the cemetery because my grandma was buried, but I was younger when she died, and I barely remembered it. So I decided to drive around and try to find it because I remembered one statue. It was the weirdest thing. I almost drove right to it. And, you know, this was when I was 12 or 13 or 14 when this happened. Yeah. And here I was in my 20s, I think, or late right. 20s, early 30s. And I ended up finding her tombstone, and right next to it, it was my grandfather's, and it was his birthday. And he died before I was born, and I never knew it.
Well, that is fascinating. Unfortunately, our time is up.
Oh, sorry.
I want to encourage everybody to pick up this book. It's called Spirits, They Are Present. It's by Janet Mayer. There is a link on the Forever Family Foundation website where you can purchase that book. Janet's website is janetmayer.net, and that's Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R. Janet, thanks so much for being with us, and I know we'll see you again real soon.
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to share my story.
Thanks. Take care. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
We ask our listeners to please join us in our Healing Energy Circle prayer. May the universe create a channel of healing energy from our participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Vicki Steffi, Wendy Lippo, Mark Varon, Eileen Lafata, Joanne Gerber, Lynn LeClaire, CJ, Rita Springer, and anybody else needing healing.
And David Haith.
Now let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures by praying like this. To the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, plankton, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Earth's waters, I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was taken from the original Gulf Water Prayer by Masuro Emoto back on May 9th, 2010. And now it's time to say...
Our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a...